This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Nice to have you with us here today on a sunny Sunday morning, the 17th of November. The Patriots taking on the Rams at Gillette Stadium. It's Christian Arcand, Mego, Shime Time here as well. We'll be talking with Fitzy from the tailgate. Tom E. Curran joins the show at 11. We'll get keys from Wiggy, I think. And, of course, Andy Hart. A dejected Andy Hart will be joining the show at 12:30 later on. We'll have Pop, Lock, and Drop and all the other great things that we always have here on Football Sunday. Let's go ahead and start with what we just heard there. Producer Jacob, just played all the drama from the week, which really stemmed from things that happened right around this time last week, actually, last Sunday. It was Burt Breer with the initial report on NBC Sports Boston about how the Crafts are looking outside the organization, maybe, for some help with Drake May. Tommy Curran confirmed that report later in the week on these airwaves. You also heard Alex Van Pelt there talking with Jones and Keefe, saying, we don't need any help. You can, you know, you can save your money there, Robert. We got this. Don't worry about it. And now here we are, coming into this Rams game. Other news from the week, Tyquan Thornton was released, so we'll get to that as well. Where do we want to start here today, guys? There's a lot going on.
Well, I'll start here, and I don't want to step on Polar Coaster, because Polar Coaster does tackle that subject of Alex Van Pelt, is he the right guy for this job next year? Has he shown you enough? For me personally, I'll just jump out there and say, he looks like a great quarterback's coach. If he's willing to take a demotion next year, I think that that sounds wonderful, but I'm not sure that he hasn't shown me enough for me to commit to him next year. But what I want to see, and Alex Van Pelt plays into this today, you're going to be going up against a Rams defense that's going to be generating a lot of pressure on your quarterback. Here's what I'm asking for. I don't know that the Patriots are going to win this game. I want to see more than 25 points. That's the line I have drawn for them. They haven't done that since the game against the Broncos on Christmas last year. Mm. I want to see more than 25 points. I want to see you slinging it. I want to see which of these wide receivers are worth a damn outside of Pop Douglas. And I want to see the run game a little bit more, too. So give me 25 points. That's what I'm looking for. That's the line of delineation for me in this game.
So I get that. It's just hard because you look at it.
Yeah, I know it's hard. It's the Rams, NFL. Go out and do it.
The Rams haven't given up 25 points since week two.
Okay.
Like, it's just, I just think
how about due factor?
Okay, sure, do factor. That's fine. I just look at it as this is going to be a tough spot for them to put up that many points. I still think it's a winnable game. I'm so frustrated by these Robert Kraft or ownership reports of going out and asking
people. You know what I'm frustrated by? Is sitting here every week and predicting 20 to 17 games. And 17,
so what? Who if they
17
win,
to 10 games.
If they're going to win, who cares?
Boring, and I want to see what Drake May can do, and I want to see who these wide receivers are.
I would.
Like, what is this?
I would counter with that Titans game was not boring.
That we're depending on.
That Titans game was not boring.
It's not boring, but it's boring offense. It's boring offense.
See, so look, I understand that the offense isn't great, but again, that's in large part because of the amount of talent you have around Drake May. The offensive line is horrendous. The weapons are terrible. All of them. You don't need to see which receivers are good because none of them are good. That's the answer.
DeMario Douglas is good.
He's fine.
See, I put some extra zhuzh on the name. I don't go Pop. I go DeMario because
like
I'm
he
giving
wouldn't,
respect
he would be the
extra
number
what? Th-
zhuzh.
Zhuzh.
Oh, zhuzh. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Zhuzh it up.
Yeah, zhuzh it up. Come on.
Clean your ears out over there.
Like, Pop Douglas would be a number three receiver on most NFL teams. Like, on the bad teams, he'd be a number two receiver. And yet, somehow, some way, he's the number one receiver on this team. So, again, like, the talent just isn't great here. I'm just frustrated by the incompetence of ownership. Why are we going out asking asking people for doing it right. You can just look at Drake May. It's very simple. We all do it on a daily basis.
Right.
Just watch him play. You can tell with your own eyes. You've owned this team for a quarter century now. You can tell with your own eyes if he's any good and if he's getting better on a week-to-week basis. It's pretty easy.
It is, and I think that in general, if you're like, I don't know what they're looking for. That's sort of my point. Like, what are you asking around for? What do you need to know? If you like the way he's progressing and you like the way that he looks while he's playing, I agree, Mego. The offense isn't great. I mean, obviously it's not. They're not scoring a lot of points. And Drake May is a work in progress. He's still developing his game and learning things on the fly, and he's not perfect either, as much as we like watching him, and as better as he is than Jacoby Brissett or Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi, any of these other guys, he's not a finished product yet either, and you see that weekly too, I think. So I'm kind of the mind here that whatever lessons they think they learned from Mac Jones are worth applying here, but I don't think that going outside the organization is one of those lessons and trying to figure out, you know, different ways to do it. The main lesson that you take away from Mac Jones is, if you're progressing well and things are going the way you want them to be going, keep that on track. Wasn't that the biggest mistake for Mac Jones? Isn't that the one main thing that we can learn from Mac Jones?
What are you going to do, handcuff Josh McDaniels?
Not necessarily.
But don't put a defensive coordinator.
You don't bring in Matt Patricia.
Well, yeah. I think we're like,
you
I
bring
think
in someone
thing,
on
the
right, someone who was like Josh McDaniels, maybe someone who worked underneath him, someone who's an offensive coach at the very least.
I think it's fair in hindsight, and I think this is the question that they're not asking, as far as I know. But, like, in hindsight, I think we can say that Mac's not the guy. Like,
well, sure,
He's not going to be the guy for a franchise.
I agree.
Never.
He's a bench guy.
Sure.
And that's fine. That's still a great career.
That's fine.
Maybe it's the best.
But also, he's going to make more money than me.
Mac Jones' rookie year had a higher QB rating than Drake May does right now.
And he had a lot of more around him. I mean,
absolutely.
If we're going to go back and litigate this whole thing, I do think that I was somebody who, up until the Bill O'Brien year, said, well, they really screwed this guy over with what they did to him in his sophomore season. How do you go from Josh McDaniels to Tweedledee and Tweedle, you know, whatever you want
dumbass
to call him.
Tweedledum and Tweedledummer.
Yeah. How do you go to that? Like, that's incompetence. That's crazy. What a crazy plan that was. And then I saw Bill O'Brien come in, who I think is a really good coach and a good offensive mind, and I was like, I just don't think that he has it. I think that was really the exposure point. You can say, like, well, Mac was so ruined. I don't really buy that. I think that he benefited from a really good system and really good coaching. And then when it fell apart, he couldn't really recollect himself because he doesn't have the resilience
right. That
even somebody that I hope Drake May has.
I agree with that. But the idea here is that you don't let it fall apart again, right? You don't let it get to that point. You don't let something like that happen. And I think that, you know, whatever you think or we think of Alex Van Pelt is kind of irrelevant. It's what Drake May thinks of him, and it's how he feels about the system that he's in, the coaching that he's getting, all of that stuff. And if he wants to stick with it, and I get the feeling that he'll go along to get along, even if they bring in somebody else. And I don't think that Alex Van Pelt's the best possible option you could have, but he's the guy that you're stuck with, and he's the guy that Drake May's, you know, coming of age with, and I think that that's an important factor here. But When you talk about what lessons they learned from this, and you're right, I mean, you can't force some offensive coordinator to stick around when they're out there getting other jobs. But like Bill O'Brien, for example, people weren't knocking his door down. He left here and he got the job at BC, and that's fine. I had a tough night last night, but like, other NFL teams weren't exactly, and he wasn't in big demand. So I guess that my point here is that if the Crafts want to take any lessons away from Mac Jones and the way that was mishandled, I understand wanting to be proactive about it. Like, you have something here, it's good. You want to protect it, and you want to make sure it's fostered in the best possible environment. But if that means you're undermining your current coaching staff that Drake May likes, and that Drake May is enjoying the way he's being coached and his progression and sort of all that stuff, and it's working for him, which I think it is. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think it is.
Well, I absolutely think it is. So then keep
it on track, I guess, is the point.
My issue here is that what I said at the top, I think Alex Van Pelt is a great quarterback's coach. And if he indeed, like Gerard Mayo says, deserves all the credit or most of the credit for the way that Drake May has progressed this season, then I would like him to stay on in some way. But I also look at the numbers, even as Drake May has assumed the starting role, and the numbers of the rankings of where the offense is. And it's just, it's hard to look at that and say it's just the lack of talent on the roster.
And I've been as critical of Alex Van Pelt as anybody. But at the same time, when you look at what the offense has to work with, there's just not a whole lot. I mean, you can Yeah, I he could afford to be a little bit more creative. I don't disagree. But at the same time, I think they're also very limited in what they can do by the personnel that they have around the quarterback. I mean, for 4 weeks in a row, they just couldn't run the football. Mm-hmm. And that's not right, even necessarily
he
creativity.
Came in saying that he was going to have a running team.
Yeah, because that's what the identity of the team Gerard Mayo wanted to have. Like, they wanted to run the football and play defense. And for 4 weeks straight, they couldn't just run the football.
I don't think that was because, yeah, exactly. I don't think it was because they weren't scheming up the right runs.
I
like,
agree.
They were just up the middle or, you know, whatever. It was student body left, student body right.
Line was
terrible. And they're getting hit in the backfield every time. Like, that's not a coaching thing.
No.
I didn't think that was a coaching thing.
No, I agree, which is why, like, I think Alex Van Pelt deserves at least a little bit more time, especially because of what he's doing with Drake Maye.
Well,
that's encouraging.
More time. He has the rest of the season.
No. I mean, like, more than that. Mm. I think that. I think he deserves at least another year with Drake Maye. And again, yanking an offensive coordinator away from Drake Maye after 1 year and forcing him to learn a completely new offense is probably not ideal for the growth of your young quarterback.
No, and we're also not done with the season yet. There's still a lot of football to play here.
There's still seven games left.
That's what I just said. He's got the rest of the season.
Exactly. So by the time we get to the end of the year, we could be having a very different conversation about Drake Maye, about Alex Van Pelt, about all these things. And it won't really, this whole discussion right now will seem silly in hindsight. But like right now, at this point, five starts in, whatever it is for Drake Maye, there's a lot to like. And I think that you can't just say, well, if it's not working out, we're going to blame the coach. And if it does work out, we're going to move on from him anyway. Like there has to be some sort of consistency there.
I have a couple questions of what you guys think about the report that they were calling around saying, like, well, how do you think of how we're handling this?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why are they doing that when things are going well?
That's
like, when things are going well with the quarterback, are they just like, it's almost like fishing for compliments. It's really weird. Like, hey, how you like us now over here? It's odd. And the other side of it is, do you think that there's, and I want to ask Tom Kern about this when we talk to him in a little bit, is there any aspect of it that they're putting up a for sale sign in the window, like signaling, hey, we're not married to Alex Van Pelt, so we're asking around to kind of see what everybody thinks out there to let you know that, hey, we're open for business potentially in the off season? Like, that's what my wonder is, like, why is it's not even so much like it's odd that they're doing this when the quarterback is playing well, but why is this information coming out this way?
Especially in the middle of the season?
It's one thing
if you're inquiring like in the offseason before your rookie's first season or at the end of the season and you kind of want to gauge some things like that. I get. Also, like, why are we asking other people in the NFL? You have been in this league now for years. You have people outside the league that have been a part of the league that you could consult and talk to that wouldn't be leaking these things. I look at Bill Belichick has a guy like Mike Lombardi. As much of a boob as we may think or not he is, like, Belichick can go and, you know, spitball ideas off of him. Who do you have like that outside of the league currently? Because if you're asking maybe, but
yeah.
He seems like more of a Belichick guy than a Kraft guy. So
he's an unemployed guy who wants a job guy.
True.
Is what I think he
is. So if this is their way to usher in Josh McDaniels, hell, I'm in. I
look how quickly he just
turned. In retrospect, I like the way Josh McDaniels calls an offense, and I think he's really good, and he's not going to go anywhere because he sure as hell ain't getting head coaching job. I love Daboll, but like I think I would consider it. Like, I think Alex Van Pelt deserves time.
I'm not saying this is all hypothetical.
It's also like a case-by-case basis. Like, it's two names that I really like, and those are the two names I've been saying for weeks that I'm like, wow, these guys would be really good with this quarterback. But at the same time, like, I feel like Alex Van Pelt deserves more. It would be easier for this team to can Gerard Mayo, bring in an offensive head coach, and just keep Alex Van Pelt in as quarterback coach and the new head coach calls
the
plays.
You think that would be easier?
Yeah,
I think that would feel extremely complicated.
No, that's way easier.
For the locker room and everybody.
How? If you're just taking out the main guy, who the rah-rah guy, who doesn't really do a whole lot, it seems like, to be completely honest, and you bring in a new guy who's going to call plays, but you keep the quarterback's coach the same, like, to me, that is a far easier transition than removing Alex Van Pelt and bringing in somebody entirely different for the offense.
I mean, it'd be easy for either one. They're both first-year guys who've never done it before. I feel like you'd forget about them pretty quickly, but that's something that I think the Crafts are... That's a bridge too far for the Crafts. Giving up on Mayo
after
1 year, I'm still not of the belief that that's even in the realm of possibility right now, especially especially if this team wins more games than last year's team, which they could do. They win this game today. They're already tied with their season last year. And that's going to make, I think, the Bill Belichick, Mike Lombardi, Matt Patricia podcasts a lot funnier forward. I can't wait to listen to those. Also interested in hearing what those guys have to say about Tyquan Thornton getting cut this week. A guy who just could not get him get himself going no matter what they did or what they tried. And recently he'd been a healthy scratch a lot. He'd been injured for a lot of his brief time here in New England. Just another failed Bill Belichick wide receiver pick getting tossed into the ether, who I believe, and I tweeted this yesterday, is going to be catching a touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl here in a couple of months. 617-779-7937. We will get to the emotional polar coaster with Mego as we continue with this Alex Van Pelt conversation. We'll get to more into Tyquan Thornton, the history of this team, and the fact that they cannot draft wide receivers to save their life. And we'll also get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It's WEEI Football Sunday, brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. Here's Shine with...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending? WEEI Football Sunday, Christian Arcan, Mego, Shine Time here with you. Phone calls at 617-779-7937 if you'd like to chime in on anything we've discussed so far. We will continue now with the emotional polar coaster. Mego posted this poll early this morning about the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt. Mego, take it away.
Yeah, I posted on X. Hasn't hit blue sky yet. Maybe next week. We'll see how big the following develops over
can
by
I,
next
real
week.
Real quick, can I just ask you guys something?
Yeah.
Are either of you on blue sky?
I was just talking to Shime about this in the break.
Okay.
I joined it like 2 days ago.
I got an invite to it like a while ago.
Wow.
And I signed up. And very, very cool. I signed up. I didn't know anybody who was there. I couldn't find any of my friends. And now everybody's going back there now. So I click back on. And I'm searching, and I don't know how to find anybody. Do I have to, like, search each person individually? Or is there one of those things where it's like, yeah, here's your contacts, or we're on Blue Sky, or whatever. Is that how it worked?
Do you know what I do?
Because I have no idea.
I go to people who I know in real life. I go to their profile, and then I just follow a bunch of the people that I know they follow.
Okay.
Like, cheat code.
I'll steal all your followers to follow because I know those people too.
That's a lot of work. I don't know. This may not work.
It's all just way too much work.
It is. It really is.
It's hard what we do trying to join new social media platforms.
It's true.
Here's the polar coaster.
It's still called Twitter, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Twitter. Do you believe Alex Van Pelt is the right offensive coordinator for next season? Your options were yes, no, haven't seen enough. Yes, got 17% of the vote. No. Just flat out no, got 55%, haven't seen enough, which is where I am, got 28%. So I think we all have kind of, I think we've mostly drawn our lines in the sand. It sounds like you guys are both in favor of bringing him back as the coordinator next year. I'm still, and this might be a little bit of a cop-out, but it's just how I really feel. I'm still jury's out. I thought that the offense looked so, so bad, so bad. And, of course, the numbers back it up with Jacoby Brissett. Now we see life with Drake May. I really like the way that he's developed and handled Drake May. And, I also just like him. Like, he's a good guy.
I love the comments. Like, yeah, that tuba player is always open in the fourth row. Stick it there. Like, that's a great answer.
Yeah, I think he's a great guy. I would love to have him working on the team in some way going forward. But I don't know that I can totally buy into this offense for, say, the next 2, 3, 4 years through Drake May's rookie contract, which is, I think, if they continued with him next year, what they would want the design to be for him, to stick around and have that continuity. That would be a big, like, plus in his favor.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to be in that camp there. You're kind of still undecided.
Thank you.
Like, I think I totally get that, and I think I still would want to see more from Alex Van Pelt. And I agree, some guys in football are just really good at one thing. Guys like Wade Phillips and Rex Ryan were great defensive coordinators and terrible head coaches. Alex Van Pelt may just be a great quarterbacks coach and a bad offensive coordinator. That is entirely possible. I think that he deserves a little bit more runway. I think we need to see this offense with some semblance of, competence outside of, like, this offensive line being different every single week and having legitimate wide receivers in the building instead of guys that you're cutting.
You want to see him just with, like, more raw materials.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it's just, I think he deserves, and then if, you know, halfway through next season, when you have legitimate talent around Drake May, it's still just, it doesn't look good, it's clunky, it's kind of a disaster, then I get it. It makes total sense to me to move on from him. I just think that with Drake May, he's doing a really good job. That grants him the runway to actually get other talent on the offense to try and call what he wants to call.
I think the only thing that, and I'll add here before Arcan jumps in, is that I feel what you're seeing on the other side this mm-hmm. week is the ultimate cautionary tale for Drake May. And I know a couple people have said this in Matthew Stafford and what Definitely. Happened with him with Detroit. And he had the same offensive coordinator for like the first five seasons of his career. In the first two seasons, he had injuries. And so it's a little bit of a different situation, hopefully, than Drake May. But continuity and having somebody who can develop your quarterback are really important things, but it's not the only thing that's going to bring your offense success.
I agree with that. And I think that in a quarterback's formative years, it's important more so than, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years down the road, especially if, like in Detroit, Stafford had Calvin Johnson, right? Like, I mean, they had a good offense.
Yeah, it was not a few like years later, yeah.
He didn't have anything. It's not like he was Drake May here with Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty and nothing else. Like, that was a different situation, and I think that the more you go along, it's not that
Pop
you have
Douglas,
to keep the
not
same.
Megatron,
not quite. Not
it's like
quite.
A gigabyte.
I don't think he even comes up to Megatron's hips. But yeah, either way, I think that when you talk about that and you talk about the continuity, I think it's very important in the first couple of years. I think it's really important from year one to year two, maybe even year three. And if things aren't working out really after that, or if you don't think the quarterback's getting to the point that they should be, then you start talking about moving on and upgrading or doing these other things. I don't like the idea of doing that if you don't have to between year one and year two, unless it's just such a mess, it's so dysfunctional, the quarterback is suffering because of the way this guy's coaching and the offense that he's calling and all of that. And I think it is much, much, in my opinion anyway, much more of a detriment to Drake May, who he's playing with, than the way he's being coached and what he's got on the field with him. I just don't even think it's close.
Yeah, so through four games, you don't feel like Alex Van Pelt is the issue with this offense?
I don't think Alex Van Pelt is holding Drake May back right now. Okay. I just don't. I think that maybe there's other guys out there who can call a better offense, but I think in terms of what is ailing this team and in terms of the development of a 22-year-old quarterback, I think that Alex Van Pelt's doing a pretty good job so far. I do think that. And, you know, this is also subject to change, so maybe my real answer here is we haven't seen enough yet, because if the season ends and all of a sudden Drake May has taken a massive step back, and guys hit the rookie wall. Look at Caleb Williams. I mean, that happens. You see it all the time. Your boy Daniels did not have a good game last week. So, I mean, we still haven't seen a really bad Drake May game yet, which a lot of people just aren't expecting to see one all year, and I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening at some point. I don't know if it's going to be today, but it will happen at some point. So I say yes. I also want to see Van Pelt try and run this offense with more talent in it, and I don't know that that's a guarantee. If you're asking about, you know, the tiers of who I'd want to see back or not see back next year and who I think is more responsible for the offense and the state that it's in, Elliott Wolf's number one for me. And I'd say that Van Pelt's probably after him and closer to Mayo than he is to Wolf. Wolf's far ahead. And I think that he's probably been the biggest obstacle towards Drake May achieving whatever it is we think he could be in his rookie year. If he thought he was going to be like C.J. Stroud or Daniels this year or something like that, I think that I look more to the personnel on the field than I do the X's and O's and what they're trying to run and how they're trying to get that going.
Especially if you keep looking at this draft class, his draft class, the one he had all by himself, and the only good positive thing is Drake May, the guy, the quarterback that was sitting
now,
for
wait, wait,
you
wait.
There.
What did we learn last week or the week before? Armandell.
Oh, fair point. Dale Pettis also. But was he a draft pick or was he undrafted? He might have been
undrafted. He was undrafted, but you said
fair.
Rookie class.
Okay,
rookie
fair
class.
Enough. I'm talking specifically draft class.
Okay.
So rookie draft class, if the only redeemable quality is Drake May, who fell in your lap at the third overall pick, that's not good.
And the guy you didn't even draft.
Yes, and a guy you didn't even draft, you picked up off a free agency. And like,
who's had one good game, like, all right?
Yeah,
like Dale Pettis, come on. He's made a couple of plays, but come on. We're not going to say he saved the draft class yet, all right?
No, bearing for Del Pettis over here.
We got it.
A mama bear situation.
Jalen Polk stinks. Caden Wallace has sucked when he's on the field. Otherwise, he's hurt. Leighton Robinson has been fine. Javon Baker can't even find the field to get with an offensive wide receiver run that smells. And then Marcellus Dial has been meh. Joe Milton isn't going to touch the field. And then Jaheim Bell, you won't put on the field. So, like, I don't get it. If the 2024 draft class continues to suck, your free agent signings that you brought here, two of them left your team. They literally just up and left. You cut one of them and one of them walked away from football. If that's the GM you have, to me, that is the clearer number one issue, like Arkan said, with this team than anything else. Play caller, everything else aside, like, that is your clear issue as your GM.
If you want to vote in the poll, you can go to Mego's Twitter account. That's Megan_Ottolini. It's Megan with an H, by the way, and Ottolini with two T's. Do you believe that Alex Van Pelt, the right offensive coordinator for next season? I say yes. I am in the minority. Did you vote yes as well, Sean?
I voted
you did?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if you did. I haven't seen enough. We are getting outnumbered big time by no and haven't seen
I'm
enough.
I'm surprised so many people right now are saying no.
Everybody hates offensive coordinators. People
all
hate them no matter
because
who
they
it is.
See all the young upstarts, yep. And they're like, I want that. And it's just a shiny new toy thing.
Josh McDaniels, well, maybe not in the Mac Jones year, but most years people wanted McDaniels out.
Oh, yeah.
When he was coaching Tom Brady.
Now
I mean, it's just
for McDaniels sometimes.
That's the way it is.
He was, I mean, the guy was really creative, and he knew how to set up an offense, not just for the now, but for later in games, and really kind of when he needed to generate offense with trick plays and stuff like that, they weren't, you know, whatever, double reverse screens that get you 6 yards. Mm-hmm. So, I think people just overrate or get too excited about offensive coordinators sometimes.
I agree with that. You mentioned players who have been, who were signed this year, who got cut. Another player got cut this week. That is wide receiver Tyquan Thornton, who was a second-round pick a couple of years ago. Never really caught on. He had that one good game against the Bengals with the two touchdowns, and after that, you barely saw him. The only thing I remember him doing this year at all was getting a couple of pass interference calls. And I don't remember. That was early in the year. I forget who it was.
Yeah, when Jacoby Brissett was still quarterback.
Yeah, it was Brissett. They just sent him down the sideline. And by the way, that was one of the most effective strategies they had in the passing game when Jacoby Brissett was starting, was just someone get a pass interference. He is now cut. Not sure what his future holds, but he is another example. And you may be looking at one on the roster right now who got picked by Elliott Wolf. Of this team just being completely snake-bitten when it comes to first, second, even third-round wide receivers that they've picked.
Bad draft class.
But other than Deion Branch and Julian Edelman, it is a horror show at wide receiver at that position in the Belichick era, and now here also in the Elliott Wolf era. It seems like it's continuing to carry over with one guy who's, in fairness, Jalen Polk already has been more productive than Tyquan Thornton ever was, I feel like, just with the two touchdowns he had. Even with all the drops, even with all the bull crap, I look at him and think, like, all right, well, he's still head and shoulders above Tyquan Thornton where he's ever been. And
yeah, but that's like head and shoulders. Tyquan Thornton is like laying on the turf with his face down.
He's like underwater, basically. But you know what I mean? They're both second round picks. Yeah. That's sort of the point, is that as unproductive as Jalen Polk has been, I still consider that that's more of a commentary on just how overdrafted, I guess, Tyquan Thornton was. I mean, I think a lot of people thought that at the time. It became more obvious as you saw him out there, just a straight-ahead runner, a guy who couldn't really run routes and who had bad hands, couldn't stay healthy, missed a lot of openers, and just, you know, was a disaster.
Well,
a disastrous pick.
Hindsight's always 20/20, but you look back and it's like, oh, you could have had George Pickens,
right?
Who is making the craziest catches I've ever seen in my life every week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the same thing with this year with Jalen Polk. Like, hindsight 2020, you could have had Ladd McConkey, who looks pretty good on the Chargers, just saying. So it's like it's a tough spot to be in.
Can I say one thing about George Pickens? And I like George Pickens a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have worked here.
Oh yeah, he's nuts.
Does that make sense? Like, it's not
need Tomlin.
If you're on this team and you don't have Tomlin, right? Like, Tomlin's been able to manage a lot of really wild personalities in that locker room. And Pickens is one of them. I mean, Pickens is out there. He's kind of out
cuckoo
to lunch. Great player, great playmaker, amazing highlights this year. I think if he came here, started pulling that crap, it's a different sort of media ecosystem. It's different owners. It's a different coach. I don't think it would have worked.
Is Antonio Brown's career in Pittsburgh the greatest accomplishment of Tomlin's coaching career?
That and the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I'd say
I mean,
it's
that
right
might
up there.
Be,
yeah.
That might be more impressive than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, under Tomlin, Antonio Brown was one of the handful greatest receivers of his generation. Like, that's how good he was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And, I mean, he was, what, a sixth-round pick? Like, yes. Brown wasn't some hot prospect coming out of school either.
Well, the,
and he was part of that Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Williams. Remember, like, they had that great offense. Le'Veon Bell, like, they were fearsome. And then Brown ended up being the best one.
And I understand your comments about Pickens probably not working here. But even if he didn't work here, you would know he's wildly talented.
Yeah.
Like, you would able to see it. And I think that's the difference, right? I look at a guy like Tyquan Thornton or like Jalen Polk, and I'm like, these guys don't look wildly talented. Even if the guy's a bit of a nutcase and just isn't succeeding, I would have known. I'm like, well, you drafted him on talent. He's clearly talented, and it just didn't work.
Well, and with Jalen Polk, what I remember from draft season was that, like, the page on him wasn't that he's going to jump off your screen with
his athletic talent.
Right, but he was going to be this guy who was just highly productive and dependable for you. So to see the struggles that he's had through the season, it kind of makes you go, what were you looking at when you build him as that kind of guy?
Yeah, it's crazy. And this team, they've done it even before that. I mean, Arcan said it. Like, the only ones that you can say have any redeeming qualities were Edelman, which I would argue is probably more a product of Tom Brady than it was their drafting abilities.
Right.
And then Deion Branch is, like, legitimately the only receiver they've actually hit on ever. And he was good. He wasn't a Hall of Famer, but he was a really good player.
Yeah, he was Pro Bowl caliber. Yep. Like, he was a good player. I thought Malcolm Mitchell, even though he got hurt, showed some promise there as a fourth-round pick and definitely contributed in that Super Bowl run, but then his knees gave out, so, you know, that happens. But, yeah, other than that, you got your Aaron Dobsons, you got your N'Keal Harrys.
Oh, God.
Chad Jackson. Bethel
Johnson.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Oh,
and it is.
So many.
Josh Boyce was another one. He was, yep. I think he was the Dobson year.
Kenbrell Tompkins.
Tompkins, who I was better than Dobson. Like, those guys were the same year. Yep. Tompkins ended up actually doing something. Now he's, I think, facing prison time.
Like
he scammed somebody.
Something.
Yeah, I forget what he did. He scammed somebody. I think it was COVID, maybe? Did some
COVID might have been. That sounds about right.
I think it was something along those lines. At any rate, it's been rough. It's been ugly, and it looks like that's just continuing right now. Tyquan Thornton, the latest poster child, as he has been cut by the Patriots, and we'll see if anyone picks him up. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones here. Jay is in North Carolina. He's been waiting since the show started to talk about how winning is contagious. Go ahead, Jay.
All right, I will. First of all, I have to put a disclaimer here. I'm a real chauvinist. I don't think girls have a place in sports, but Megan, you proved me wrong. I'm busy eating my crow right now.
Oh, thank you. I was worried about how that started.
I know. I was going to say, I'm very misogynistic.
This is spot on, and your points are well taken.
Thank you.
So I appreciate that.
No, you converted one, Megan. Good for you.
Anyway, I said that the winning and the success is contagious. It's like a drug. And I think the Patriots are catching on to that. I'm not going to say they're going to win the game against the Rams, but if they do, the glove is thrown down, and the other teams had better take them seriously. And I'm not impressed with the Buffalo Bills. I'm waiting for them. I'm waiting for that game to show up on the scope. But anyways, I enjoy your program. Thank you very much, folks.
All right, thanks, Jay. You're one of the good ones, Mego.
Good job, Mego.
How's that make you feel? He's like, I don't think women belong in sports, but that Mego's
hey,
okay.
One by one, we're going to get them all.
What a fun thing to announce at the beginning of the call, too. Like, I'm basically
going.
He's self-aware.
He
I was just like, uh-oh.
It's true.
I'm going to get called out right now.
Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield. Hey, Sorja.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
How are you this morning?
How you doing?
So I'm doing very well, thank you, as always. I'm checking in from the great state of Maryland, if that's okay. But really quick here.
You're in Maryland?
Of course. Just visiting some family really quick.
What part?
But I will be watching. I'm actually in Germantown.
What?
But
that's the town next to my town, Sorja.
Are you visiting Mego's family? Is that what you're doing, Sorja?
No, I'm just visiting my own family. But I got to say,
Sorja, you got to check out the Brookfield Beer Farm.
Sorja, did you know that Mego's father has a separate house that he just puts model trains in? Did you know about this? He has a separate model train house. So if you go visit them, visit the model train house.
I did not know this, but I got to say Maryland is a very underrated state. But
okay.
Really
thank
quick
you.
Here,
thank
guys.
All right, what do we got?
You know, oh, yeah, for sure. Really quick here, guys. I think the AVP discussion is so great. And the thing that I was just thinking about is with the Bears, right? They let go of Shane Waldron, where maybe a great QB with Caleb Williams can be ruined by a good OC. But then on the flip side, right, remember a couple years ago everyone was ranting and raving about Eric Bieniemy, and he was like the best thing since sliced bread, right?
Yes.
But then when he went on to other pastures, he didn't really have a lot of success. So I really think that Drake May is making AVP look confident, just like making this Patriots organization look confident because this O-line is so horrible. And I get the continuity argument with, you know, AVP coming into the second season, but if you already know AVP is not the guy, I don't understand the reason to bring him back. And I think that this OC job is going to be more coveted. And listen, I'm not saying the Patriots are going to make the playoffs, but if we win against the Rams, let's get it going. You guys have a great rest of your day.
All right, thank you, Sergeant. Appreciate it. There was a lot there, sort of a lot to tackle. We don't have a lot of time because we got to get to Fitzy, but we'll address some of those points in a bit. Fitzy is live at the tailgate. We'll see what kind of crazy people are harassing him right now. Although he is back on his home field,
mm-hmm.
He was in Chicago last week. It looked like he was making a lot of friends. He texted us a bunch of pictures of him out there in Soldiers Field. Seemed like he was making all sorts of friends in Chicago. In a weird way, as New England as Fitzy is. He fits in Chicago. Like, in my mind, he fits in Chicago at that tailgate. Like, that seemed like a very natural place for him to be. But now he's at his most natural habitat, of course. Lot 22 over in Foxborough. We'll get to Fitzy at the tailgate next. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Nice to have you with us today. We're joined now, live from the tailgate, by our own Nick Fitzy Stevens, who is in Foxborough, boots on the ground. Fitzy, how we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen and lady friends of Pats Nation, and to all my Foxborough friends. Good morning. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing great.
live from the 3B, I will tell you this. If you could go to a website where you could order the weather, if you could literally design your game day weather. Good morning, guys. Once again, good morning to you guys. If you could design the weather, if you could, like, just create your own game day experience, I think today is exactly what you would ask for. Mid-50s, little breeze, tons of sun, and guess what? Happy Foxborough friends. We've got Patriots people in good moods. Dare I say, the vibes are teetering on immaculate from the tailgate today.
Fitzy, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't sure you were going to come back from Chicago. You seemed to fit right in with those people. You seemed very at home out there in the Chicago tailgate. So maybe that's just the kind of guy you are. You just fit in at all the tailgate. But it seemed like Chicago really spoke to you.
Oh, it's an incredible city. If you like, I don't know, some of the things that make life worth living, like food, drinks. Morning, guys. Go Pats. Let's see. I don't know. Architecture, history, culture, skyline, nice people, you know, niceness, all that jazz. Chicago's awesome. I mean, I came back probably 7 to 8% larger than when I first boarded myself with an airline flight. And I've been walking it off ever since. But, man, that's a great take, and I highly recommend. And that was the first time I ever took my son to a road game, and he got a dub. So, you know, that was great.
Fitzy, on the Jersey Watch front, from the beginning of the season, we saw a lot of converted Jones to May jerseys with the duct tape job. Are you seeing more bona fide Drake May jerseys yet? Are people buying the jersey, or are they still doing the homemade thing?
Hold on. There's a tailgate chirping at me about the jet blue. We have the smartest fans in all the land. What are you guys worried about? Come on now. Morning, guys. No, I haven't, Mego. That's the thing. Actually, here's one walking up right next to me where this is. Hold on. Let's actually check right now, Mego. 3, 2, 1. Nope, says Jones. My bad.
come on, guys.
No, there's still no. Mostly it's funny, Mego. Like, I keep checking all the websites to see if Drake May has cracked the top 10 in jersey sales, and he hasn't. And you would think he would, considering that he's just getting all this national love, you know, the Orlovskis and the Grudens all talking about the fact that he's a superstar in the making, yet everyone is still, you know, it's all homemade jerseys. People still slapping paper, tape, and whatever else on the back of it. But eventually it's going to happen, but nope, still the Foxborough frugality wins out.
Does it feel like that's a lack of faith in the ownership and organization as a whole or in the player itself? Because it feels like everybody's pretty excited about the player himself.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I should probably call around and see if other teams think that we're doing the jersey sales the right way. Oh, wait a second. That's a veiled shot at the fact that the organization has been calling around to figure out if the Patriots are grooming him the right way. No, I can't. Who doesn't? Shime, how much time did we spend this week football washing Drake May on the radio. Like,
quite a bit.
My word. Quite a bit, and it's deservedly so as well. We have questions about other aspects of the organization, but how can you possibly think that Drake May isn't, you know, isn't him? Isn't him Bo Slice? Isn't Timothy Chalamet? Like, he's got it going on. And what a great test today will be, too. Like, you know, a fantasy team in the L.A. Rams dropping into Gillette Stadium. The coach everyone wants to pluck a leaf or a branch from, and Sean McVay, against the first-year staff of Mayo and Company. Like, it's going to be an awesome test for the kid today.
Fitzy Stevens joining us here at on WEEI Football Sunday. He's live from the tailgate. You mentioned the Crafts calling around and this report from Breer last week, which was confirmed by Tommy Kern. Fitzy, I think that there's some positives to be gained from this, because you're talking about a team now that's won 2 out of 3 games. You're talking about a head coach who's feeling a little more confident. And now that there's these questions about the offensive coordinator, you heard him defending himself on Jones and Keefe, Mike Onwenu, saying that he's had a bunch of offensive coordinators, and he thinks that Van Pelt's the best out of all of them, including McDaniels, and Gerard Mayo. It seems like they're kind of circling the wagons around this whole thing. Is that the impression you're getting?
Yeah, I do. And first of all, that's exactly what you should do. I mean, what are you going to say midseason? Like, you know, Hunter Henry this week talked about how much he loved Nick Caley. We all remember, you know, he's coming back to town now as the quarterbacks coach, and tight ends coach and pass game coordinator for the Ramajamas. You know, Hunter Henry talked about how much he loved him, but he said Van Pelt is on point. Austin Hooper gave him a total love letter this week, saying like he takes the time to be very instructional. He's accessible, but he's super smart. They're rallying around their guy. Now, you're not going to throw him under the bus midseason and be like, tell you what, man, I played football 9 years in this league. This guy sucks. You're not going to throw your coordinator under the bus, but this is who you have for at least the rest of the season. You're not going to fire him like Shane Waldron. There was that whole Shime was telling me, reminding me yesterday about the Jackson Smith and Jigba story where he was asked about Shane Waldron. And what did he say, Shime? Like, are we live?
Good luck. Yeah, he said, and I quote, are we live?
Oh. Yeah, this is their guy. I'm happy to hear that they're rallying around Alex Van Pelt right now, because again, you know, I know it's tired, but it's true. If his job number one for him is to make sure that Drake May gets all the fundamentals and mechanics down, calling the offense is part two. And again, it's not like they gave, you know, to draw everything back to food, which is a perfect thing to do at a tailgate. It's not exactly like they stocked him with all the finest choices ingredients in the world. I mean, the O-line is the same group of five that's starting for only 2 weeks in a row. The receiver room, how many guys in the wide receiver room would actually be on other NFL rosters? So, you know, patience is the play with Van Pelt, and I'm glad to hear everyone's been talking him up this week.
Fitzy, we saw some progress from the defense last week, but again, they were going up against that Chicago offensive line, which is actually worse than yours. So do you think that, did you see anything, especially there in person last week when you were in Chicago, that you feel like they can actually carry over in a meaningful way in this game?
I hope so. I think that's, again, the great test of, like, going up against, like I call them, like, the fantasy football team from Los Angeles, like Kyren Williams, Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. Like, this is what a great test for the Del Pettises and the Christian Ellises of the world, all these UDFAs and sixth-round and seventh-round guys, the Jags and the waiver wire warriors that the Patriots have assembled on defense. And now today you may get Duggar back after 3 games. And just the boost they'll get on the defensive line for the Godshows and the Equales to have Barmore back. I mean, no one should expect him to be near the level of play when he literally just blew up the Denver offensive line all by himself last Christmas Eve. But just having him back, that presence to be accounted for, will be massive for the Patriots defense today, and hopefully should he stay healthy going forward.
Yeah, I was going to ask Fitzy, what do you expect out of Barmore today? In limited fashion, probably. He's not going to play the entire game by any means, but are you expecting any kind of moments from him today?
Oh, absolutely. I think if he can disrupt a couple plays, because again, this is a little bit of a patchwork line, if I'm not mistaken. Aren't there one or two starters that are going to be out for the Rams on the offensive line as well?
Yep. Yes, the right tackle is going to be out.
Okay, good. Yeah, so if you move him around a little bit, and even if Barmore himself doesn't log a massive stat line, just think about how his presence ups the game for the other, for other guys like Keon White, like the new underrated hero of the Patriots defense, Anfernee Jennings and everyone else. And so help me goodness, if they decide to put Schooler back in there for a blitz today and he gets home on Stafford, this place is going to go bonkers, kid. Oh, there's an actual May jersey. Mego, I got one.
All right, good. Fitzy, before we let you go here, Tyquan Thornton set adrift yesterday. Where does he rank in the all-time last 25 years or so of Patriots wide receiver busts in the draft?
Oh, man, he joins a running list of the Taylor Prices and the Chad Jacksons and the Aaron Dobsons of the world. If those guys were to all get together, they could actually have like a club that where they can meet up and like they can have their jerseys retired. There could be a supper and a seminar. My God, it's unbelievable. Just do me, dear New England Patriots, do me a favor. Do not draft any more receivers in the second round. Sincerely signed, your fans. P.S. Yes, Jalen Polk, that is you sweating right now. Can you imagine what he was? Every day he's like, oh no, the curse of the second round receiver is me. Oh no, what am I going to do? If he breaks the curse, put that guy in the Patriots Hall of Fame tomorrow.
All right, very good. Speaking of Patriots Hall of Fame, that's Nick Fitzy Stevens, who is the Hall of Fame tailgate man down there in Foxborough. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week, Fitzy. Thanks.
Hold on one sec. Let me see. Hey, guys, I'm live on WEEI. Can I get a big go Pats from you all? All right, there we go. Have a good one, guys.
All right, thanks, Fitzy. Sounds like a lively scene down there in the parking lots as the Foxborough faithful get ready for the Patriots and the Rams at 1 o'clock today. 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran joins the show next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.